Sunday was a wonderful day. And I prayed for all of you guys on Monday that none of it would be lost, but they would all be retained. If you received something, all of us received something, but I would say it like this. If you received something that you heard, saw, experienced in your body, please come and share it with me. That does not mean if you didn't, that nothing happened. Everybody received. Everybody received. It's very, very powerful. And we just want to give all the glory to God and give opportunity at times for testimonies. I had more than one on Sunday that live in other places, out of state, that got in touch with me right after service and said how powerful it was and what they experienced, and they were sharing it with others right away. So that's the gospel in power, that it's shared. So hallelujah. So please just come and share it, and we want others to know. Praise God. And you know, there's times too you just receive, you know, you receive something powerful. The essence of it was to go to the next level. We heard from the Holy Spirit also say that there was healing, both physically and emotionally, taking place during that time. So sometimes you know it, sometimes you grab it by faith and know it. So either way, praise the Lord. Sunday night we'll be back here, and we will have Calling in the Lost, in which Gay will be leading us again. And then we will also start a new series in which we've had several lessons by Gary Carpenter in one particular series, and now the Holy Spirit has started something wonderful through him, which is the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and we're going to start that Sunday night. So, very powerful. Very, 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 very powerful. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you. Would you worship with me for just a moment? We glorify you. Just, you can sit there and magnify him. We glorify you. We love you so much, Father. We love you so much, Father. We glorify you. We exalt you, Jesus. Worthy, 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 worthy. Jesus, you are so worthy. Makarese kiridiato. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for coming tonight and supporting where we're headed. Hallelujah. Because I'm excited about it. I'm so excited about it. Hallelujah. Why don't you guys go ahead and pass out the handouts tonight. We're going back to some face-to-face. By the way, while they're doing that, if you're watching tonight, of course I can't give you a handout through the camera, but I can tell you just really how simple it is. This comes from Gary Carpenter's website, and I'm going to go to my tray of ministries, bam, hit garycarpenter.org, and if you don't have that icon already in your phone or pad or computer, you can go to garycarpenter.org. And type that in. His website will come up on the face page. You'll see right in the middle, bottom part, the face-to-face series. Hit that. And then scroll down. And let's see. I got to put my glasses on for the little numbering. This is the Scourging Post, and it's number 14. If you go right over to hit HTML. Bam, then it just comes right up, and you'll be reading what we're reading tonight. Hallelujah. Blessings and glory. Father, we thank you. As we have worshiped you, we also thank you again and again and again. Lord, I just thank you so much for the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the new nature. Blessings and glory. Thank you for where you're taking us. Father, our dependency is upon you. Both myself and this crowd that is watching, Lord, we're one in the Spirit in that we're asking, believing, and standing for receiving that which is our hope, to follow you and to receive this great outpouring. Bless us again tonight, Holy Spirit, with all of the wisdom of God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. What you're looking at is, of course, another face-to-face document, and I've explained these before in the past, and for a viewing crowd, if this is your first time, these were a series of encounters that Gary Carpenter had years ago with the Holy Spirit. It's amazing to me, as I have gone through these over the last couple of years, along with a lot of other parts of my devotion to the Lord, so many things that the Lord has spoken in my heart personally that is applicable to all of us. And when he gave this to Gary, it was understood by him and to all of us, as you get into these, is that these things were not only applicable to Gary, and to sometimes he mentions Sue in these things, but is across the board prophetic to the body of Christ. And actually, I don't know how many years ago that these were received, many, many years ago. I think it was back when Gary talks about the ugly building. That might have been where he first received these. I don't know. But as things have gone on, they have been much more, I see them even much more prophetic as we are building towards where we're at right now. And so this coming Sunday, we will be back into Beyond Born Again, the series that the Lord has us in, and we're going to really get into some things in the book of Hebrews about dead works, and I think you'll really enjoy it. So stay with us and continue to pull with us. You're going to learn, I'm going to learn, and we're going to take another step together. But tonight, as we read this, the Scourging Post is the name of this document, and I'm just going to read through this. There's quite a number of paragraphs. I will at times comment on a number of things as the Holy Spirit has spoken in my heart today. And so let's just give a listen. You follow along with me, and we'll comment it at times. If you want to, of course, these are yours to take home. Please write all over them. Take notes. I've numbered the paragraphs myself alongside so that if I needed to turn back to a particular paragraph, you might want to do that. That'll help out for future reference, maybe even in this service. Base not your value, the Holy Spirit said, your worth or your productiveness in the kingdom on these things which we shall discuss this day, says the Spirit of grace. For the Lord your God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. You have been very diligent to walk in the light that you have had to this point. With that diligence, the Lord is pleased. Now, the scripture that the Holy Spirit used there was Hebrews 6, amazing enough, the same chapter that we're in this coming Sunday. And the scripture was, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Again, I got to remind you, please, this is the posture. This should be your mental and spiritual posture. I am a graduate student. I'm so glad that Pastor Jim taught that lesson. I am, Gary calls it, the tip of the spear. If you think egotistical, you miss the whole mark. Part of all of our purging is to purge away anything that will statistically take us away in pride. But if we don't realize who we are, then we don't take the effort to say, this is who I am, and this is, you see, a military general or female or a person in charge. Listen, if there's a place of humility, but there's a false humility that just says, no, I can't make that decision, or I can't do that. Listen, leaders make decisions. And if you're a person that really has a hard time with caring about what somebody thinks of you, that's another part of your growth. You must make decisions And you must make decisions for the betterment of everybody. And you must make decisions, first of all, for the betterment of everybody based on you yourself going forward in God. Listen, we've got some generals in here already. We've got some women and some men that are going to be part of emptying hospitals. Hallelujah. And so I believe that with all my heart. I'm just one person, one of the ministers. Many, you guys are called of God and you're generals in the Spirit. So you have to think of yourself as you're listening, especially to the scourging post of what kind of position am I in? I'm not in a novice position. I'm not in one that's coming like somebody that's sneaking in the back door. I'm sitting here, not in pride, but I'm sitting here listening to the voice of my commander-in-chief, not Bronk Flint, but Jesus in heaven, and saying, okay, what is it that you want to better me in as an already advanced soldier? I'm already advanced. Hallelujah. You are simply changing realms of operation now. You're stepping above the realm of the work of man to the realm of the work of God. This is a time of correction and a time of reordering the steps that have led somewhat astray from His perfect will for your life. Receive this as a son entering maturity now, who can forsake the childish things of the past and begin to walk as a son of maturity in the true work of God, which is by the Spirit and by the Spirit only. And I would just continue to remind you, when I hear these things or listen or read this, when he's talking about a son, and all you women are sons and daughters of God as well, that's the message, that's part of the message of Sunday, maturing. Man, God was in this place Sunday, wasn't he? And it began, it's just, I love to see it. When I arrive, there's already people here and they're already doing stuff, and the group is, you know, over next door praying, and then people are praying in here, and whether they're there, but you know, I got a message Sunday, you know, and Barbara, she came up, and she takes no credit for this. It was just like a joint effort, but it was like once that Holy Ghost wave came through here, we were talking. She goes, "This is exactly what we were praying for. This is exactly what," she said, "we didn't see the prayer line, but the healings, the ministry, the going to the next level." Was that it, Barbara? That's about it. Anything else the Holy Spirit said? Perfect. Yeah, just. You tell me. So, but that was about it. But it was like they saw that and they were praying for it. Well, I can't tell you how much that means to me, but it's not just that group over there, but it's all of you. When we come in here as sons, Ephesians 4:11, we went there last week. We're not going to go there tonight, but it says that we grow up into the fullness of the stature. You know, we're just like everyone. I don't care how tall you are, if you're 6'3", or if you're, you know, 5 foot, whatever. He wants us spiritually all to be the same height of Jesus Christ. Amen. The very same height. And so we're all growing up who are the tip of the spear, who are hearing this, and are growing up into the fullness of Christ. And so that's the message Sunday, and that's where we were at, and he took us there to another part of that. Paragraph 3, you have used the talents and the equipment, the associations, and the knowledge which the Lord has given you to minister to the sheep at a level where you have felt comfortable and safe. You should know that comfort and safety are not normal hallmarks of those who choose to walk in the perfect will of the Lamb. Okay, and what he's talking about there is your flesh is going to be tried as far as launch out. Well, I like my safe position. I don't. We're going to all be pushed out into those. This is new to me. I know. That's what revival is about. Come on. I don't want to be seen. You got to be seen to lay hands on them. Yeah. and to get them out of the wheelchairs. I don't want them to know, listen, it's okay. It's okay. Look. And he said to him, but this is indicative to so many of us as we go forward. You've used the tape ministry somewhat as a veil in order to deliver the truth into the homes of many people, while at the same time keeping secret your failings and weaknesses of the flesh. To walk in a low, he says, to walk in this low level of acceptability will for your life, you have used the tape ministry as a cloak of anonymity, to hide those things which you know would destroy the confidence of many if they knew. You should know and take some comfort in the knowledge that many use the pulpit in the same manner, for they are certainly different persons at home in their house than the people they show as they stand in the pulpit. They cloak their failings behind the veil of ministry and seldom, if ever, are the sheep given any glimpses behind the veil into their personal lives. The Father is aware of this. The Lord Jesus Christ is aware of this. It is according to the acceptable walk. However, it will never suffice to bring forth the perfect will of God in any true minister who desires to walk on the path of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm speaking because he's speaking, and he wants me to speak to all of you as ministers. Okay? You're sheep, but I'm speaking to you as graduates. When I read this, and the Holy Spirit reminded me, and you'll remember this, those of you that will go back a ways, of the vision that Pastor Dave had when the Lord is sharing this to Gary about being the same person in ministry that you are at home. This is across the board. This isn't just for preachers. This is a group going forward. Pastor Dave, he shared this. He probably shared it here, but I heard him share it many times. Many years ago, he was invited to a place in Tulsa. I know the forum, and I believe I know the minister that was there. It was a very famous healing evangelist, and he was invited to come, or some people asked him to come. Thousands showed up, and this person was getting ready to come out on stage, and Pastor Dave came in, and you guys know how he was. He was very unassuming, you know, just doesn't matter where I sit, it doesn't matter who knows my name, it doesn't really matter. And someone that was supposedly like an usher in authority took him really close to the front and seated him. And so he's just sitting there waiting, you know, like everybody else, for the service to start. Then a little bit later, another person in authority, like another usher or whoever, came and got him and said, "You can't sit here. This is reserved." So you know how he is, no contest. So they took him and they hauled him to the back or wherever, you know, however far he went. So he sat there and listened and watched and watched the ministry and was, you know, part of the service. And then as he got up to leave, like at the close of the service, he got up and he did not realize when he stood to depart from the building that he was in the Spirit. And he was in the Spirit in a vision. And everyone, as he looked around the room, by a mass, I guess, majority, had turned plastic. They were people, but they were plastic. I tried to remember, didn't think too long on it, but I tried to remember the old sci-fi movie that I watched years ago. And everybody looked like human beings. And I thought, was it the Invasion of the Body Snatchers? That was a good one, but I can't remember that. I can't remember if it was that one. But if, would you put on glasses, and there's these certain glasses, and somehow when you put those on, the person's like, you know, there'd be a congregation, and like a third of you would be aliens, but nobody knew. And these aliens were bad. They had to be, you know, they would be taken out. And when you put them on, they appeared, you finally saw, well, in this vision, he saw plastic people. He saw, you know, a lot of people in a meeting, and it seemed like they were there all for the right purposes and for the right reasons, but the Lord seemed that they were a lot of plastic. Dave would say this. He would explain from that vision. He would talk about, he'd say this. Dave would explain that much of the church leaves the real person of themselves at home when they come to church, and they bring the part of themselves that they want everybody to believe that they are. Dave would also go on to explain that revival will happen in the church when people bring the real person to church to no longer hide them. That's powerful. This is exactly what the Holy Spirit was saying to Gary here. Hallelujah. Let's continue to read. That's very powerful. I have given you, right at the bottom, I don't know how yours is, mine's a little different here. I have given you ample warning in preparing your heart, to understand that the instructions that came from the mind of Christ do not come in a manner in which you have supposed. His instructions always come in such a manner that they loose the Spirit of the living God to manifest the will of the Father in the earth. I have also instructed you that I am the Spirit of truth. I only bring truth from His mind to yours. If the truth is rejected, I have nothing else to bring. Those that reject my truth, I bring it again, and I bring it again, and I bring it again. But if they continue to reject the truth, then they eventually become blind and deaf to the things revealed by the Spirit of truth. By their own will, they blind themselves and they become deaf to my voice. Then I can reveal the truth to them no longer. Be not as one of those. Now, isn't this amazing? Because this is exactly the lesson from Sunday, from teachers to babes. We gave you the Greek word, not trying to Greek you for impression, but the Greek word was doctors or masters. Up to this point or at this point in time, you should be doctors advanced. He wasn't just talking about teachers. The Greek word was advanced teachers, that you should be advanced teachers. That's what the Hebrew writer was saying. Rather than that, he said, you have become infantile, so much so that you have not only went down the scale of spiritual intelligence, you're to the point where you can't even say what you originally knew. You can't even speak. The sparsity, the big difference between a master-minded teacher and a baby that can't teach, this is exactly what the Hebrew writer was saying, but we understood this and we've tried to get this across, and I think you're getting it, is that if you don't hear it, then obey it, then you stand in jeopardy to continually losing what you originally had. And this is exactly what the Holy Spirit said, that if I reveal truth to you but you don't walk in it, eventually you'll get deaf to it and you'll get blinded to it. The first instruction you received from His mind was to put priority on becoming continually aware of my presence with you. How's that going for you, Natalie? Good. I hate to put you on the spot. She told me the other day, man, when I started talking to the Holy Spirit like He's right there all the time, something happened. Glory to God. Your diligence in this matter has been measured far above your diligence in the administration. Your diligence in this matter has been measured far below your diligence in the administration of the ministry. This must change. Put first place and give the most earnest heed to those things that I bring you from the mind of Christ, for these are the things involved in your transformation to walk on the path of the work of God being manifest in the earth. I will help you with this as a measure for your mind. I will help you with this as a measure for your mind. Measure out your day on purpose. Schedule time to put first place, becoming aware of my presence with you. Measure the day. Measure the time that you give to the first instructions from the mind of Christ. I say unto you again, there is nothing more important in your life than this complete and total awareness of the Spirit of the living God is with you. This is the next obstacle that must fall on the path to arriving at the next clearing. And then, you know, some people, and I'm not trying to be critical, I'm just saying some people just wake up in a new world every day. Like, what's your plan for tomorrow? I don't have one. Well, that's, if you're saying I'm going to trust the Lord, that's fine. But there should be, according to what the Holy Spirit is saying here, okay, what is, now everybody, we're not talking about robots here, and we're not talking about things that don't exist. We're just putting life in perspective. Everybody runs into unforeseen obstacles. But if you don't have some kind of plan, like, okay, what am I going to do? How busy is tomorrow? It's super busy. Okay, why am I not? I'm not going to get the prayer time in that I probably would normally like to. Okay, but should I get up 30 minutes early, or an hour early, or can I make a plan to myself that after I get that thing done, that's got to be done first thing. But after I get that thing done, then I'll give the Lord an hour, or I'll give the Lord. What he's saying here is strategically, we must look to him to say, okay, Lord, what's this week look like? What's tomorrow look like? If you just wake up every day and say, I'm going to get to it at some point, it's going to be stolen from you. It will be stolen from you. If you strategically look and say, okay, God, I'm going to put this first, but I can't get, because as soon as I get up, I got to do that. Okay, well, okay, when can I get to it? You begin to understand the Holy Spirit will measure out your day. So he's talking to us about helping us measure out our day. Hallelujah. I say again unto you, put first and you release me to put that first and you release me to manifest all the natural things that you need. At this moment, that first instruction is for you seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Other things are allowed for you to do, but you must put the first in order to remain on the path of his perfect will for your life, says the Spirit of grace. Today you are to receive the second instruction from the mind of Christ, which will release the power of the Spirit to manifest the will of the Father in your life. You have already rejected this instruction twice. Now, this was the Holy Spirit speaking to him personally, but it was a very intimate time. He said you've already rejected what he was trying to get across to him twice that day, that morning. This instruction twice. And even the third time this day, I have attempted to paint the vision of the scourging post in your spirit. And I think this is indicative of all of us. At times we try to hide from the Lord, like, I didn't know you were trying to say that. Okay, yes, you did. Yes, I did. Say not with your mouth that which you know not. Say not with your mouth that you know not what it is. For you do know what it is. It is the scourging post where Christ was lashed, where the whip was laid across his back, and where the blood flowed as he was scourged and his flesh was laid bare. Now, see the scourging post again as I paint it once more in your spirit. Reject it not. So watch this. Okay, listen to this picture. Reject it not, says the Spirit of the Lord. You see how it is only belt high and that the man must kneel to be attached to it. You see the shackles of chains that are attached and hang from the post. Yet notice that the shackles are unlocked and are empty. In the natural realm, men are shackled against their will to the scourging post to have the law of man imposed upon them. It is not so in the kingdom of God, nor in the realm of the Spirit. Now this is the Holy Spirit speaking all of this, of course. I, nor the Lord Jesus, nor your Father, will force you against your will to shackle yourself to this post. In the kingdom of God, for those who would walk on the high path of the call of God in Christ Jesus, each man must choose to embrace the post of scourging. Of his own free will, Jesus could have called for 12 legions of angels to free him from the scourging post, but he chose to remain there. It is time for you to embrace the scourging post, where the things of the flesh, which have hindered your walk greatly, shall be removed forever. And I say again, forever, by the lash of the Spirit. You are not forced to embrace this scourging post, except if your hunger and your desire for the perfect will of God is sufficient to cause you to bow the knee and to embrace the post. The Spirit does not force you. The Son does not force you. The Father does not force you. Your own desire and hunger shall force you if you desire the high place to which the Father has called you. Now let me make some comments about, because what we're talking about is the scourging post of the Lord. There's some similarities, but great differences. And the great differences that we'll discuss in just a moment, you cannot be scourged like him. You cannot be scourged for your own. He took the penalty of scourging for your sins, for the sins of others, for every malady, for every sickness, disease, depression, fear, anxiety, poverty, all of everything was scourged on him. The scourging post, again, is us, point of truth, is the tip of the spear, those who are willing to say, I desire this. And what is it? It's the part where the Holy Spirit, I'm getting ahead in my notes here, is beginning to take us to the next level in our walk with him. Let me share this as he gave it to me. It must be understood, so as we're reading this and what we just read, it must be understood in the light of our present day understanding concerning the subject of choice, because we just heard the choice, did we not? It's your choice. The Father can't do this. It's your choice. It's your choice. When the Holy Spirit is speaking of choice here, he is not speaking of choice to live righteously and above sin. That choice was made at the entry level into salvation. All believers should understand that in the light of John's 1 John epistle, that they are definitely required to make a choice to live free from sin. That's the life of a believer at entry level. That's the life of a believer at entry level. Okay? According to Mark 4, the progressive maturity in regards to the Word of God sown in the heart of a believer starts by way of example at 30-fold. Turn to Mark 4. Go ahead. You're quick. Go to Mark 4, chapter 4, verse 13. We'll read this because we just love the Word of God and this is the truth. Look at verse 13, Mark 4. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, this is the part where he's explaining to the disciples. Okay, there is a group that immediately, bam, as soon as they hear it, they can't assimilate it. It's just taken from them. This group doesn't get born again. They don't even enter in. And these, he says, are they, verse 16, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately they receive it, okay? They receive it with gladness and yet have no root in themselves and so endure. There is something there, but they endure but for a time. And afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. That's the first level. Man, remember what I told you about the palms that me and, you know, the Plamondons planted over at my place, 170 of them? I keep propping them up. I got 90% of them where they're rooted, where the, it doesn't matter what kind of storm. I got probably about 10 of them that I keep having to, because of where they're at, I keep having to prop them back up a little bit and stake them. And so that's everybody that, you know, the when people come in, if they can ever put down that first taproot and get past affliction and persecution, they can make it. But they got to mature. They got to keep going. They've got to get to that next level. And so you just got to keep propping them up for a little bit, but praise God for the ones that just take off and never look back. And these are they that are sown on stony or on sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust, this is even a higher takeout, and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So all these things come, and eventually they were in the kingdom, but they become neutralized, and some of them neutralized to the point where they become Jude 20. They're just totally trees twice dead. But Mark 4:20 says, these are they which are sown on good ground. Everybody, the word, the seed that is sown is perfect. The maturation of the seed depends on the goodness of the ground, how sweet that ground is, how good it is. Such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. The continual process of a true disciple is a matter of choice. That's a true disciple. It's a matter of choice. Choosing to bear fruit past afflictions and persecution is a choice for true disciples. And this is where the scourging post comes in. Am I going to get offended and leave the church? Or am I going to go to the next level to go back to that place where I die? And see, the scriptures of why not take, well, I'm right in this thing. You may be. But Paul just settled the whole thing and said, why not just be defrauded? Why not just take the wrong? Why not grow? That's a person who has come to the scourging post long enough that even if they could make an insurmountable argument how right they are, they just take the wrong and say, okay, you know what? It's okay. Let's just get along. Let's just go. Let's just, absolutely, it's okay. I don't care if I'm defrauded. I don't care, because I want Christ in me. I want to get kids out of wheelchairs more than I want to be right. That doesn't come except you can be born again, be going to heaven, but I'm telling you that only the scourging post takes you to those places. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Choosing to bear fruit past affliction and persecution is a choice for true disciples. Choosing to lay down your life, I haven't got to the hit back into the reading yet. I'm just reading some of the notes the Lord gave me. Choosing to bear fruit past choosing to lay down your life for Christ's life is a matter of choice. Getting past the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things and continuing to bear fruit is the choice of true disciples. Now, this is where we got to make a distinction here, because I've heard people will tell you, well, listen, he loves me so much, he leaves the choice up to me. Or, you know, you'll hear that in certain sectors of the church. When someone who calls themselves a Christian says, God loves me so much that he's left the choice up to me, and they're speaking in regards to the killer sins, they have no idea what they're talking about. We have not been given a choice in these matters. He hadn't given us a choice in those matters. And yet we have been given a choice. I mean, you can do them, and he won't stop you, and you can go to hell if you want to. But if you think that he's saying, I love you so much, it's really a choice. It's your choice. What we're talking about, the scourging being your choice. Now I'm going to forsake my notes and get out here and preach a little bit. The scourging post is beyond, way beyond the killer sins. The scourging post is how much you'll love him and how much you'll love him enough to love others and pay the sacrifice of going into him to wherever it takes you, wherever that route takes you, wherever that road takes you, in fastings, in prayers, in giving of thanks, worship, and all those kinds of things. That's the choice. We don't have no choice in living righteous. Well, you do, but that's not no choice at all. Hallelujah. The bottom line truth is that they do have a choice. They can go to heaven or hell, and he will not stop them. God has not given them the freedom of choice without judgment. The choice of the scourging post is a choice for the true disciple. This is a choice between 60 and 100 fold. This is the choice of how much we love him. As I've said some of these things, I'll repeat them. How much love I'll walk in. How much of me still needs to die. How much will I lay down my life to find his life? How much will I obey him in the ministry that he has given me? How much will I pray? How much will I fast? How much will I do the things that he's asked me to do? Now, let's go back. If you run from the scourging post this day, know that I shall go with you, and I will continue to work with you in the acceptable will of God, which you will have chosen. But know this, your hunger will increase, and the day will come when you will once again face the scourging post. If you run again on that day, then know that I shall go with you, and I will continue to work with you in an acceptable will of God, which you choose each time that you run from the scourging post. Praise God that he keeps working with us. Isn't that wonderful? It's so wonderful. But understand again that hunger will build within you. See, that's the mistake of coming here. And that's the mistake that we all give each other. That's the strength that we give each other. We're all nudging each other. Come on. I like that vision that Gay had years ago. We were nudging each other, going up. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Let's do it. We can do this. This is the, as Jim said, he said he was doing it careful. He said, I'm not using this like the world uses it, but is this the energy or this is the strength that we give each other? We're causing each other to say, come on, there's more. And if you walk away for a season like you're still saved, you're not doing the killer sins, but you're just like neutral. You know, it's like, man, I hear pastor, but it's just, you know, that doesn't, he's not, you know, there's nothing there's really clicking when he's talking. But I'm telling you, if you go to this church and you stand as we worship God and as you continue to hear something, the fire, you'll not escape it. And if you run from it, you'll just take a big circle and you'll go right back to Jesus. I want to get so close to you. I want to lay down my life for you. I want what you want. Lord, kill my flesh. Well, that's the scourging post. That's the scourging post. And it doesn't happen. I like this because the Lord says no matter how many times you run from it, he'll bring you back to it. Amen. You have asked for the lambs. Is that next paragraph? Am I on the right one? No. But understand again that the hunger will build within you. Be it today, be it next month. Be it the next year, understand the day will come when your hunger for the high call of God in Christ Jesus will force you to embrace the scourging post. You may choose to do so this day, for your hunger is great, says the Lord. Christ is wanting you to know that he forces no man to the scourging post, but his love draws all men there who choose the Lamb as their first love. You've asked the Lamb, asked for the Lamb's perfect will for your life. The perfect will of God is represented by the words of Christ when he said, take up your cross and follow me. You have asked to know what your cross is that you may bear it. Understand that on the path to that cross, you first come to the scourging post. The scourging post is where all things of the flesh must die before you shall be able to take up your cross. The scourging post is where man's aspirations die. The scourging post is where weakness of the flesh is purged. The scourging post is where your will dies completely and his will becomes yours. The scourging post is where what is known as man must bow the knee so those things of the flesh may be exposed by the lash of the Spirit to be purged by the blood of the Lamb. Thank God this is private. Praise God. Praise God. And I'll tell you what is not really private is those killer sins. Those killer sins, they need to be dealt with, you know. And there is grace, not grace like sloppy grace. There's grace that is empowerment to get past those things, but like we've been preaching, they're first base. They're right at the door. But this scourging process that we're talking about, this is a private place. This is a intimacy, a place of intimacy with the Lord. Hallelujah. There is no avoiding the scourging post for those who want to truly take up the cross assigned to them by the Lamb. I bring you the mind of Christ. The Son this day is asking you, not commanding you, will you of your own free choice embrace the scourging post? The Son asks you to look once more at the scourging post within your spirit. Do you see the stain of blood that remains at the post, on the post from where he knelt there? No one understand that your flesh embraces, that as your flesh embraces the scourging post, the power of his blood is there already to cleanse you and to purge you from all that is not the will of the Father. His blood has preceded you. His blood is waiting for you. The power in his blood shall transform you. Well, let me just read this. This is from a website, Truth of God. Gary had some other good stuff on this, but I didn't have a chance to go there about the actual scourging post. It wasn't in this writing that we have here, but I've heard him do other stuff before. But this is historical data. Flogging was illegal. Now we're gonna touch on the description of Jesus's post. Flogging was a legal preliminary to every Roman execution. Only women and Roman senators or soldiers, except in cases of desertion, were exempt. The usual instrument was a short whip with several single or braided leather thongs of variable lengths, in which small iron balls or sharp pieces of sheep bone were tied at intervals. For scourging, the man was stripped of his clothes, totally, of course, and his hands were tied to an upright post. The back, buttocks, legs were flogged either by two soldiers, lictors, or by one who alternated his position. The severity of the scourging depended on the disposition of the lictors and was intended to weaken the victim to a state just short of collapse or death. As a Roman's soldiers repeatedly struck the victim's back with full force, the iron balls would cause deep contusions and the leather thongs and sheep bones would cut into the skin and subcutaneous tissue. Then, as the flogging continued, the lacerations would tear into the underlying skeletal muscles and produce quivering ribbons of bleeding flesh. Pain and blood loss generally set the stage for circulatory shock. The extent of blood loss may well have determined how long the victim would survive on the cross. After the scourging, the soldier would taunt their victim. Of course, that happened to Jesus as well. Only Jesus could have received that one. We're never asked, and I've already said this, to take the scourging of our sins, others, sickness, disease, poverty, oppression, or any of that. The stripes of our scourging post are the lashes of His love, asking for a stronger position of lordship in our life. The historical data is that that you'll find a lot of, I would say, the Holy Spirit spoke it here to Gary, as Gary probably had that in, but he reminded him that the post was belt high. It was not up here. It was belt high, so that the position of the person would have to be leaned over, so they would be just like this, or they would completely kneel. You know, they would have to be in a place where they're reaching up like this, completely naked, and usually two soldiers, if not one, would just, of course, beat the person with the instrument that we just read. And they would beat them. His back was not just beaten, his buttocks, his legs, that's why Isaiah says in 52, before it gets to 53, that his visual form was marred, unrecognizable. So he went to that one, so we never have to. Hallelujah. That's not the one that we're describing. The one that we're describing is the one, it's beautiful enough in that He will lead us to this place. This decision is a decision, will I lay down my life? Will I give Him? But I'll tell you what, the Lord is wonderful. He describes all this, but you can't lay your life down that He doesn't give you life. The greatest life that you can possibly have is the life that you have turned over to Him, and then He gives that life back to you according to His will and good pleasure. But giving Him this place, how does that work? Well, the Lord, logistically, what do we do? The Lord begins to answer this here. There is no avoiding the scourging post. Is that where I'm at? Is that correct? Okay. What? Somebody help me, because I got... But okay. 21? Okay, thank you. The Son has asked you to look once more at the scourging post. Is that it? Oh, let me read that again. Okay. Yeah, okay. Again, I remind you. Okay. You guys. Again, I remind you, when you emerge from the Lamb's room of fellowship, you shall be changed, a changed man. You shall be a new man. How do I embrace the scourging post? How do I do it, Lord, is the question that I hear from your Spirit, says the Spirit of grace. You've asked the right question. I now bring you the second instruction from the mind of Christ. Beginning this day, you are to incorporate longer and longer periods of fasting into your life. That time has come. No veil of anonymity can be permitted on the path of the high call of God in Christ Jesus for your life. To walk in the Father's perfect will for you, my son, totally exposure to the people shall be required. What they see in ministry must be what you are at home. At that level of power, no hypocrisy is permissible. The same power that will heal them will destroy you. Has not history proven this fact through many servants who attained to the walk of power, yet cloak their flesh in a veil of hypocrisy? The enemy cannot be restrained when such is the case, and his arsenal of destruction is fully launched against an unpurged flesh. It must needs be that you come first to the scourging post before you arrive at the cross. I speak of the high call for you to walk in the manifest glory, as the Lamb himself has previously spoken to you. To walk in that realm requires the transition to love. I am not speaking of walking in the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, for both you and Sue are now able to walk at that level. Your mind cannot yet understand this, but it can receive this as being truth. As long as the gifts are being operated as the Spirit wills, a buffer is created around you because of a lack of responsibility on your part. My children are protected when they operate in the gifts of the Spirit as the Spirit wills, for there is a buffer of safety placed around them due to their lack of responsibility for initiating of these actions. You will understand this more as you mature. Now, we'll stop right there for a moment. We're not after a gifts anointing. I mean, a gifts revival. We want gifts, but gifts are as he wills. Pastor Dave used to explain this, and he would say, we're after a believer's anointing. And that's a Joel chapter 2 anointing. And basically what the Holy Spirit has said there is this, is if you're being led, or if you're like, is it as the Holy Spirit wills, bam, you started ministering, you came in with a good report, I wasn't expecting it, bam, you know, and the Holy Spirit just drops on you, and that's never the case in your life. You just got used, and that's never the case, and you got a church that is really super on the gifts. The level of attack, you remember John, was John 16? Which one? Where Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, but he has nothing in me. That's the same principle. For a believer's anointing, what we're doing is this. This is why the scourging post is so necessary. Because when you're just gifts of the Spirit, it's kind of as he wills. We're believing God for a believer's anointing that is almost on purpose, as we will, but it's his will, that we're coming in here. This is why every Sunday night for the last 10 years, we've been saying, I say, and then following all the protocol of dying, at least, now we have not arrived, my God, we have not arrived, but at least we have taken the gray crayon, put it back in the box, and say, wait a minute, we have colored a lot of gray in the past, but that crayon is in the box. We understand there are killer sins that if you persist in them, it's not the first time you burn. It's if you do the work, the Greek word is consistently continue to do those things, call yourself a Christian, you're not going to make heaven. We are in our understanding, we've advanced in that. We're not past it as in knowing everything, but we're past it and we've got that part. Hallelujah. This is our part where we're going to the next level. The scourging post is that dying, that continue. Once you enter into the kingdom, just by way of example, Mark 4 is, he starts you out. I don't know if this is, I mean, just, okay, I'm just going to use the example of Mark 4. He starts you out by way of example if you're good ground at 30. Everybody's at least 30 if you're good ground. But the scourging post has to be someplace in between 60 and 100. And in that place, if you are part of saying, man, I want that ministry. I want the blind eyes to be healed. Listen, you don't think that the Father won't protect us and keep us? Because there's attacks coming. But our, you're talking about mental stability, physical stability, even economic stability in a land, living in a place. But here's the thing. At the same time, this is what we've preached for years. You don't want to go into this revival with killer sins in your life and pretending to be something that you're not. That scourging post, well, we're past that, but that scourging post gets to a place where it begins to narrow 60 all the way up to 100, and so that there's nothing, that when he comes inspecting, because listen, I want all the dead limbs to fall off now. I really do, because I can feel this thing building. You're going to find out is the men and women that were exposed. I'll tell you what, if you read God's Generals, the book, read the Word. I'm not going to let you read that book, because you'll find out that there was only a handful of them. God bless them. A lot of them are in heaven, most of them, 99% of them are. But I'm telling you, if you read those, you'll find out, man, some of them that were used in miracles had some stuff. And that's why a lot of them died early. One of my champions is Smith Wigglesworth. No messing around with him. No women. No bad stuff. No, you know, under the table money deals. He went all the way to the end. He did good. There's a lot of them. There's a few. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of them that didn't make it like they should, because they were being used in the gifts, but they didn't go to the scourging post. And if you don't go to the scourging post, Satan, he'll track you. And sometimes, if you're being used in the gifts, he'll back off. He'll back off enough if he sees that you won't go to the scourging post. He'll back off enough for you to gain reputation, to gain popularity. He won't try to fight what's going on, only to hope that what won't be scourged or die will only remain and grow. Somebody said, that's making me afraid. There's no fear in it. We already know that we've went into the door, right? Hallelujah. And but now it's by a matter of choice. This post is entry level to those miracles over there. Without you having any fear, listen, nobody's perfect. You're still in revival. Okay, sometimes we paint a picture of revival like it's a utopia. You're still probably going to cuss your cat every once in a while in revival. Okay, you might throw something up against the door. You might be a human being. You're going to be. You're absolutely going to be. But the deep-seated things like holding animosity, green roots of like, I have a hatred for them. Christians, there's going to be a lot of Christians make it to heaven that never went to the level where they really wanted to kill somebody. They didn't have the murder of 1 John in their heart. But my God, they were just mean. They were mean. Thank God they got to heaven, because there's no meanness there. But that meanness, if you're wanting to do miracles, that meanness has got to go. How that meanness may have never taken you to a Jude position of killing the tree, but if you stay mean, you don't want to do miracles. Hallelujah. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. I hope that we embrace revival like it's a real thing. Because none of us is going to walk in here in the midst of miracles with halos. Okay? Sometimes we're going to have to say, I'm sorry, in the midst of revival. You're still going to be a human. Okay? Praise God. You're still going to need the blood. Okay. I get to preach and I miss my... We're getting close here. Where's my paragraph? Somebody help me. Obedience without question to my voice in this day when it comes to the operation of gifts of the Spirit does not expose you to an increased level of warfare from the enemy. I permit no such launch of his arsenal against you. For you are walking as a child, merely following instructions, not as a mature son who initiates warfare at the direction of Christ. For the son of full stature, safety is only afforded when Satan has nothing in you. The scourging post is on the path for you if you desire to ever walk in his manifest glory. See, some people, listen, here's the deal. Do you know, maybe this will help. Do you know going after revival is, not going after revival, that's the best, not going after revival is not a killer sin. That's not what, that's not listed in those. It's not. If you don't choose to go after revival, that's not a deal breaker. It's not a deal breaker for me. It is, man. I'll tell you, my heart's there. It's not really, according to the Word. We are choosing to do this because we love Him. Amen. Hallelujah. You're sitting here by choice. So I'm not preaching at you. I'm saying, like, praise God. You can hear this. You can hear this stuff. The scourging post is on the path if you desire to ever walk in manifest glory. Manifest glory is the cross which the Father has assigned to you. Embrace the scourging post. The sooner you embrace the scourging post, the sooner the power of the Spirit is released to transform you more into the image of Him who begat you. I hear you asking me, how? How should I incorporate fasting into my life in a manner that shall be safe to my physical man? The Spirit of the Lord says unto you as a general pattern, one day on or one day off, 2 days on, 2 days off, 3 days on, 3 days off, and so forth until you acquire deeper and deeper levels of purging of the desires of the flesh. This is not a law unto you, but it's given as a general pattern. Make allowances for holidays, for meetings, and for special activities, for it is not the Father's desire to remove you from all the fellowship with man. Follow this as a general pattern for establishing deeper and deeper levels of the scourging of the flesh to bring mortification that can receive the mind of Christ. Remember, His blood is at the post. Call on the power of it to sustain you, and it surely will, says the Lord of hosts. As your counselor, I advise you to make fasting schedule 1 month and sometimes even 2 months in advance, that you fail not to make direct progress on this instruction from the mind of the Spirit. Each time you come off the fast, be sure to incorporate those things which I have instructed you that will reset your metabolism rate. You will avoid the consequences that befall most. Your health shall improve speedily as you do these things, says the Lord. Before I read the last two paragraphs, I've got to say, listen, fasting season, we've always taught like January, but I'm telling you, for us to go into this revival, that part of that scourging post, yes, it is your prayer, it is your word time, it is your, but the Holy Spirit was incorporating right here. I'll tell you, if you've done any fasting at all, anything, and I'm not talking about even the long words, if you've done any fasting at all, you know that fasting is like pouring gas on the fire. It'll eventually put things to a quieter place, but if there's anything that, yeah, it'll, yeah, Mavis is like, yeah, and I know, it'll pour gas. I mean, if you got any flesh in there, you know, somebody said, well, my weight's at the level I want it to be. It's not about your weight. I don't care if you're skinny like a bone. It is about, and everybody, now sometimes you're going through a physical infirmity. You're going to have to get the mind of Christ. You're going to have to walk through that with wisdom, and you're going to have to know, but He'll come and He'll talk to you. He'll show you. But I'm telling you, the pathway to the Holy Spirit, this is a major part of it. I've heard Gary say a few times on some of the, you know, I've seen Gary over the last few years as he's walked, things have started, he'll even admit that was not a strong point for him. But I've seen his heart, like yours and like mine, just begin to embrace the vision for revival and what it takes. And that post right there is part of it. And fasting is like a lot, because we'll ask the Lord, okay, how to embrace, like he said, how to embrace the scourging post. There's two more paragraphs. I'll read them in just a moment. And this is it. This is part of it. Fasting. You've got to go into that place of separation, whether it's, listen, a day, a week makes a major difference, you know, or a few meals, a couple meals during the day, whatever. Hallelujah. It makes, and we've taught all, no need to go into the academics of how that works, but it is a major part. And listen, Jesus said in three places, it was in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John doesn't. He basically said this. This is hard. I heard Gary say it. I'm gonna say it. Okay. Probably didn't go over well for him too. Might not. Jesus said, "My disciple." I'm gonna. You know the paraphrase. I'm paraphrasing. I will leave. When I leave, my disciples will fast. Now Gary said this. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ and not fast. If words mean anything. You cannot be his disciplined follower. Doesn't mean you're not saved, but you can't be his disciplined follower and not fast. Hallelujah. Amen. That's just what the truth of this is. Okay? I hear you saying this does not sound like an easy yoke nor a light burden. That is only because you have not yet known the degree of hindrances that your flesh has imposed on the life of Christ within you. This instruction from the mind of Christ shall remove hindrances that will allow his life in you to grow exceedingly, where more of the burdens of your life can be borne by the Spirit rather than on your shoulders, says the Spirit of grace. It is hard to choose new wine and forsake the old when all you have tasted is the old. At this point, you must trust me that the new wine is better, for it truly is. You will look back and say, truly, that was an easy yoke, and that was a light burden, for it allowed the Spirit of the living God to lift the weight of the decades from off my shoulders. My health did spring forth speedily. My light did break forth as the morning. This is Isaiah 58, of course. Righteousness went before me and led me in the way of the Lord. Truly, this was an easy yoke and a light burden from the Lord. For our light affliction, this last verse, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a much more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Hallelujah. Amen. All of you revivalists, see, you really are, and man, I'll tell you, I so much appreciate when the Holy Spirit allows me to pray for you. Sunday was a wonderful day. I appreciate you loving and trusting me as your shepherd to allow me to lay hands on you and just believe that I love you enough to impart something, you know, good for you. And that's an honor. It's just a real honor. It's also an honor to train soldiers. It really is, to train, to get you to a place where what you know goes to another level. And so I would encourage you, go into the fullness of allow the Holy Spirit to take you on a continual basis, whenever, into those places of intimacy where he can lovingly apply the lashes of the scourging post. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. Praise God. Father, we worship you. We glorify you. We thank you for your great love. Father, we thank you because we know that in these types of sins are even the meat of where we're desiring to go. It is the strength of those that are already made perfect through your born-again nature, going to another level of the stature, the fullness of Christ. Now take us into that place. We embrace these things. We pray for them to work in our life in another measure like we've never had before. We bless this crowd and those that are watching, and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Hallelujah.